Got a form across my desk this morning. I'd said in the month of June, just giving some totals, we had, I think, 72 new members, 81 new volunteers, and 52 decisions made for Jesus Christ to give their life to Him. And so that is an amazing, wonderful thing, and it's just at the same time, humbling, and we don't want you to ever feel like that humility is not here. It's amazing to see what God has done, and we give Him the credit and honor and glory for it. And we're looking forward to serving each and every person in here to our highest abilities. And I know myself, as well as the praise and worship team and every department, we're striving to give you our best each and every week, because we're so honored and privileged to have you worshiping here with us. We've got a couple of events that are coming up. And in fact, in the back of your seats there is a card that says a response card. And on that card, you can sign up for a number of our events. We did that to make it easy for people to sign up, so you wouldn't have to go back out in the foyer and sign up a sheet unless you had to pay for the event. But we've got a couple of events that are free that are coming up. Our first one is our Mighty Men event. It's going to be this Friday. You don't want to miss it. We're going to have loads of fun. We're having Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, who is an ex-professional wrestler and had a career there, and he's given his heart to the Lord and just a great Christian man. He's going to become giving his testimony, which I know will be wonderful. It should be exciting to hear all the stories. So you don't want to miss that. That event is free. It's this Friday. It's for men everywhere, not only men of Word of Life, but any man you may know that want to attend and meet other Christian men, more than welcome to invite them as well. We just need to sign up and have them sign up before they come, so that way we know how much food to prepare for, all of those good things. So you don't want to miss that. You can sign up for that. And as well as coming up, we have our women's event called Bloom. And I know you guys are going to have a lot of fun because I'm going to be speaking. And so we're going to have a lot of fun. Me and my wife are going to tag team. And I'm not quite sure what we're going to talk about. I know my form this morning it said we're going to be talking about relationships. But I don't know. I may talk about something else. You never know until you come. But we're going to have loads of fun. There's free food at that event as well. And that is on a Saturday that's coming up. I believe it's the first Saturday in August. I could be mistaken, but you need to go ahead and sign up for that. And we look forward to seeing you there. And you can, once again, use those response cards to sign up for things like that. But you can also use those response cards to make some important decisions in your life. At the bottom of the card, there are several questions that you can answer by checking if you want more information on those issues. And right there, you'll see if you want to give your life to Jesus. Jesus has made all the difference in the world in my life. He's changed me. And I know He can do the same thing for you, but you got to give your life to Him. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, maybe you've given your life to the Lord, but you want to rededicate your life. You can check that second box for that as well. Or if you want to be water baptized, if you've never been baptized in water, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. And so you begin your Christian journey that way, and then we'll carry you forward to the rest of it. But you've got to make those decisions first. When you check that box, it enables us to do something. And what we wanted to do is to do more than just pray for people after service, pat you on the back, and send you on your way. We are creating a discipleship program that when you check those types of things, if you want it, we're going to be there to help you during this early stage of Christianity. And so we're excited about this, but if you want to check any of those boxes, you can do so very privately and then drop those off in the tithes and offering receptacles on your way out. Speaking of tithes and offerings, it's that part of the service where we get to talk about those things. Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. You know the story here. Jesus is watching people give, and a woman comes and gives her last mite. But I want you to notice this particular word here in Mark chapter 12 in verse 41. It says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." Now, notice this first line here. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, so Jesus was watching them give. But notice this, and beheld not what the people gave, but how the people gave. Notice, Jesus cared about how they gave, not just what they gave. And friends, I'm telling you, when you're giving to any type of church, maybe you're a member of this church and you give your tithes and offerings here, or maybe you just simply are passing through this morning and you belong to another church family, or whether you send a check to a missionary, or however you give your tithes and offerings, it's not just about what you give. It's about how you are giving it. And I always want to emphasize that to you during this time, because I believe we all know to tithe and those types of things. And that's good to know that. And it's good to know what to give, 10%, those types of things. But friend, I'm telling you, it matters to God how we give it. That we give it with love, that we give it with honor, that we give it with gratitude and thanksgiving. And so I want to encourage you this morning, for everyone participating in tithes and offerings here, that the reason why you give here is not because we need the money. We don't need the money. God's paid all our bills. He's been more than good to us. We don't need the money. What matters is our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you that when you tithe and when you give, you're not giving out of compulsion. You're not giving because there's a need. You're giving because you want to, in your heart, honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings, and give that tithe and offering not out of compulsion, but out of love and devotion to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So let's pray over our tithes and offerings today and give them with honor. Father, we come before you today and we thank you for the honor and the privilege of giving you our tithes and offerings. Father, we count it a joy to come before you with this gift and to sow it into your kingdom. And Father, we thank you that as we sow this seed today, that you bless every gift and you bless every giver. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you will watch over your word to perform it. And you said that when we sow seed, that you would multiply seed that was sown. So Father, watch over that word. Open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing that these individuals here this morning don't have room enough to receive. We thank you, Lord, for it. And Father, we also lift up our service to you. And we would ask of you to bless our words, make our words words of life. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you enable us to speak right things, to speak good things. Let your Holy Spirit work in and through our words to touch the hearts of these individuals who are here today or anyone who may listen to this message. And Father, because you help us so much, at the end of this service, we can't take any of the credit, glory, or honor that all belongs to you. For you and you alone are worthy, and you alone deserve all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians on the screens. You can go to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 in the Amplified. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 in the Amplified. We're opening up our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand and our happy ushers will be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. You can keep that one. And of course, this morning you can feel free to use a Bible app on your iPhone or BlackBerry or iPad or whatever. Have fun with that. I'm glad someone knows how to use this technology. So we're opening up to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read some passages here. We started talking last Sunday on child training, on how to raise up a child. And I tell you what, I am pumped up about this message today for many reasons, but also because on Friday, me and my wife found out that she is 2 months along pregnant with her third child. And so we're excited and elated about that. And so I definitely am looking forward to not only teaching this, but learning this even more. And I want to encourage everyone who is here. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, I don't have a child to train. Well, you might one day, but these same lessons that we're learning, you can use for yourself, especially in today's message. There are some things that we'll go over that I think really have the chance to be profound, not only for the life of your child, but also for the individuals' lives who are represented this morning. We said last week that our goal as parents, first and foremost, the first thing we are to do for our children is to provide a household of loving care. Let's read something here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Well, what's the promise? Well, here it is in verse 3. "That it may be well with you, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." Now watch this in verse 4. He says, "And you fathers," or you could say, "and you parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but instead do something for them." He gives us two things to do. "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." This word nurture means to provide loving care. It's not just having love for a child, it is expressing that love for them. In fact, my job as a parent is to make sure I am always confirming my love for my child, that my love that I have for them is confirmed in their heart. They may go through some things in life. There may be times where I have to correct them. There may be times where they don't get to do what they want to do. There may be times where they disagree with my decisions or whatever. But always in their heart is a confirmation, a knowing that my father always has my best interest at heart. My father loves me. My father cares for me. And that's where all of this correction is coming from. We said even after correction, it's important for your child to know that you are not mad at them. That, yeah, I had to correct you, but even after correction, I want you to know that I am not mad at you. In fact, every time I correct my children, the last thing I say to them is, "You know Daddy loves you, don't you? Oh, Daddy loves you so much." And then I never, ever tell them they're a bad kid. I tell them, "You're a good kid. Oh, you're a good kid. You made a mistake there, but you're a good kid." Why would you do that? Because life and death are where? In the power of the what? Of the tongue. So if I want them to be a good kid, I don't need to call them a bad kid, especially into their ears. All right? So that's the first thing, is no matter what happens in that household, everything in that house is built off of this foundation of love. We said that when you do this, it's going to open up their heart to receive correction from you and also receive instruction. We said that you need to strive to let your kids know that you love them, you want to have fun with them, that you want a relationship with them. Me and my wife were talking about this the other morning, and we remembered an instance that came up here recently in the life of my niece. I think she was turning 18, 17, something like that. And her friends were going to throw her a party, and that's a good thing. It's good to have friends who like you. That's a fun thing. But I told my wife, I said, "Well, we need to throw her a party. You know, we as a family, we need to throw her a party." And she said, "Well, she's already getting a party there." I said, "But no, we really need to throw her a party." And I said, "I don't want her to ever think that her friends like her more than we do." Why is that? Because who you feel likes you most, you open your ear up to. And friend, I want every kid in my life to know that whether I'm your uncle, father, whatever, I love you. And I don't want anyone other than your parents, if you're not my child, to speak into your life more and to have more access to your heart than what a parental authority or a family member has. Why? Because I know I'm going to speak into their heart right things, good things, God's ways. But in order to do that, they have to open up their heart to you. And the only way for them to do that is to experience that nurture from you. I am to nurture my children. I am to confirm my love for them. But it also tells me to do something else. And what this word means, to admonish, it means here to correct. And I'm going to tell you today how to correct children according from a biblical standpoint. Correction, it's not a fun word. It's not something that kids definitely enjoy hearing. I've never met a kid that says, "Woo, we're getting correction today," and just excited about it and telling people at the mall, "Guess what, I'm going home and getting corrected." I've never seen that happen. No child likes it. And you know what I found out? Not only do children not like it, but most adults don't care for correction either. And it's just in our nature for us to kind of resist correction. But friend, can I tell you this morning, correction is not a dirty word. Correction leads to something when it's done God's way. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about biblical correction. Correction, when it is done God's way, it leads to discipline. And discipline is another one of those words that people don't care for. But can I tell you this? The book of Proverbs says that he who despises discipline is a fool. But he who opens up his heart to it, that's a wise man. Why? It's impossible to have success without discipline. You never will. If you're going to be involved in a successful relationship, you know what that tells me? It means someone in that relationship is disciplined. Because when you're in a relationship that's going God's way, it means you're not saying everything that comes across your mind. It means that you're biting your tongue more than you're opening up your mouth when you're upset. It means that you're guarding your heart to make sure you're not letting feelings of unforgiveness, bitterness, any of that take root in you. And guess what all of that stuff takes? Discipline. And if you are disciplined with it, oh man, you can have a great relationship. But if you're undisciplined with it, friend, I'm telling you, I don't care what you do, what your last name is, who you are, where you came from, you will not have a good relationship. It requires discipline. If you want to see success physically, don't you have to be pretty disciplined? I mean, you can't just wake up and experience success physically. No, you've got to be disciplined in what you eat and what you do and what you allow to come into your body. It requires discipline. Am I right? And if you are disciplined, that can lead to success. But if you're undisciplined, that can lead to failure. Discipline is not a dirty word. Now, what we want to do for our children is to instill in them discipline. Why? Because we want them to be successful. Believe me when I say it's much better for them to learn discipline when they're 4, 5, 6, 18 years old than when they're 38, than when they're 48. I like what my father used to always tell me. He'd come up alongside me and say, "Now, son, you know, there's discipline that's coming your way. But I want you to know something. Discipline is a good thing." And he says, "You will learn it." He'd always tell me this. "You will learn discipline." And he said, "I want you to learn discipline from me, but if you don't learn discipline from me, you may learn it from an employer. And if you don't learn it from an employer, you may learn it from a police officer. And if you don't learn it from a police officer, you may then have to learn it from a judge. And if you don't learn it from a judge, you may have to learn it from God. And trust me, out of all those options, you want to learn it from me." And it's the truth, right? I mean, it's much better to be in time out for an hour than it is to have a crazy adulthood. And so you want to instill in your kids discipline when they're young, so that when they get older, it enables them to lead a successful life. I'll give you another example. With my niece, I came to her, and I think she was 15, maybe 14 at the time. And I came to her and I told her, "Okay, I'm going to teach you how to make money. All right? Over the next couple of years of your life, I'm going to teach you how to make money." I said, "There's lots of things I could tell you, but the first thing I'm going to give you is a basic discipline. And this discipline, it is not fun, it is not overly entertaining, and it'll seem like it'll limit you in the short term. But if you apply this discipline with habit force and build it into your character so that it never leaves you, I trust in 30 years, you'll come up to me and shake my hand." I said, "Here's the discipline. You live starting off off of 80% of your income. All right? I do this rule even for myself today. Don't ever plan on changing it. We do it for the church too. Don't ever plan on changing it. You live off 80% of your income. 10% of your income, it goes to God. That's the tithe. The other 10% goes to yourself. Well, when people hear that, they think, well, doesn't all the rest of it go to me? No. It goes to Ford. It goes to house payment. It goes to electric bill. It goes to backpacks. It goes to school supplies. It doesn't go to you. You live off of the 80%. The first 10% goes to God. The second 10% goes to yourself. And my goal for you is as you make more money and increase your earning capacity, that you increase that margin. That 12% is going to God, 12% is going to yourself. 13% is going to God, 13% is going. And you steadily increase that margin. Is that fun? No, it is not fun. But guess what? When you're 15 years old, you can manage that. Why? Because you're not 35. You don't have a house that you can't afford, cars that you can't afford, kids that you can't afford. You're young. And if she can learn to do that, then it's going to lead to her having success later because she's learned discipline now. I took her out to breakfast the other morning, and my nephew and their mom, we all went out to breakfast. We're having a good time, but I really wanted to use that moment to speak some things into her life. Because once again, what is the purpose of having fun? I want to create fun for my kids to open up their heart to listen to me. So we have this, we're having fun. At the end of the deal, I said, now let me ask you a question. I asked this to her. She's now 18. I said, let me ask you, what does it mean to be wealthy? All right, we'll turn around. I'm not talking to her anymore. I'm talking to you. What does wealth mean to you? When people think of being wealthy, what do they think about? They think of nice cars, big homes, and all of those types of things. Can I tell you this and just liberate you this morning? Wealthy has nothing to do with stuff. Wealthy, if you're wealthy, it means you have freedom. I'll give you an example. Someone may come up to you and say, look at my new home, and it's beautiful. And you walk in and look at my wood floors. And you know what you should stop and say? Is this really your new home, or is this Trustmark's new home? Because if you're making a mortgage payment, this is Trustmark's light fixture, wood floor, sink. And here's how you know. Stop paying Trustmark for a couple of months, and we'll find out whose home it really is. Well, look at my new Mustang. Is it really your new Mustang, or is it Ford Credit's Mustang? Because if you stop paying Ford Credit for a couple of months, Ford Credit's going to come back and get their Mustang. Wealthy is not the accumulation of stuff. This world is consumer-driven. I mean consumer-driven. And it's sad to say, but a lot of the church is that way too. A lot of people in the church think I'm wealthy if I've got a new house and a new car and all of those things. And that's great. Yeah, man, go for it. But can I tell you this? If you have to work every single week for that house, for that car, and if you stop working for a month, they could come and take it away, you are not wealthy. I don't care how much square footage is in your home or what brand name is on the back of your car. If you've got a 1992 Toyota Camry that's paid for, you're more wealthy than someone with a new Lexus who has to go to work every single month to pay it off. Now, what is that? That is simple, basic financial wisdom that our kids need to have instilled in them, because they grow up and see these videos with all of those things, and then they start off their life married with houses that are too big for their family, cars that are too expensive, and they never accumulate true wealth. Then they turn retirement age and can't retire because they don't have the money, because they never learned discipline when it comes to money. All right, so all of that was for free. See, I told you, even if you're an adult, you're going to get some today, even if you don't have kids. So, but with that, I was telling her this, that wealthy means freedom. Wealthy means you don't have to go to work to support your life. Wealthy means you could take off from work for a year and go on a mission trips and come back and you still have your stuff because it's yours. And the only way you're going to get there is to make sure, one, you're living by faith and you're believing God to bless that seed that you're sowing. And then two, use financial constraint. But this is what we are supposed to be doing with our children, is to instilling in them discipline for life. It's not about just getting them to stop running around. It's not about them to be disciplined so we can look good as parents. It's us knowing that if they are undisciplined now, chances are they will be undisciplined later. And if they're undisciplined later, if they get into life and they're undisciplined in some areas, it really could lead to so much pain for them, far more than whatever type of punishment I would dole out. See, when you're an adult and you have to discipline yourself, the only time most adults do is when there's pain in their life. They go through something, and it's painful, and it's so painful that it wakes them up and they say, you know what, I probably need to be more disciplined. And they've experienced that pain that's woken them up, and I need to be more disciplined financially, or man, I need to be more disciplined relationally. And if they would have had a parent come in and help them when they were 4 or 5, yeah, that parent may have given them some short-term pain. I mean, maybe a spanking on the backside of the hiney, or a backside of the hiney sitting down for timeout. I'm not here to tell you what type of form of correction to give, or grounded from the car for 3 months, or whatever, or you lose your door. I had that happen to me as a teenager. I'm going to take your door. Don't take my door. Please don't take my door to my room. But anyway, whatever it may be, that seems painful, but it's a whole lot less painful than a divorce. And it's a whole lot less painful than bankruptcy. And it's a whole lot less painful than failing on a career. And this is why God put children in parents' lives. It's to not only receive love for them, which is a type and shadow of God's love for them, but also for them to have discipline instilled in their heart. Well, what type of discipline am I to give? What boundaries and borders am I to set up? Well, every child is different. I love this passage of scripture in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says to train up a child in the way that he should go. And I love this next part. And in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So here we can see every child is different. I have a little girl who's 5, I have a little boy who's 4, and they are different. There are things I have to watch with her that I don't have to watch with him, and there are things that I have to watch with him that I don't have to watch with her. I didn't have to tell my daughter, don't body slam anyone today, and I didn't have to tell my son, don't talk in class. It's two different types of personalities, two different types of people, and I've got to understand that there are going to be differences there. So with that, I'm not trying to tell you what type of dating age or curfews or any of that. I'll let you decide that in your own heart with wisdom from God, because no one knows that child better than God does and you do. So use wisdom concerning those things. But there are 4 areas that you need to set up boundaries for your kids in. These are 4 areas that as an adult, you should have these boundaries already fixed in your heart. That your disciplines are based off of these 4 areas. And friend, I'm telling you today, if you can be disciplined in these 4 areas that I'm going to give you this morning, you will be incredibly successful. And if you can train your kids to be disciplined in these 4 areas, to live within these boundaries, you will raise amazing kids who are not only good when they're in your household, but go out and live great lives. These 4 areas I saw years ago in the life of Jesus. Go over to Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, and I'll show you these 4 areas. I heard a wise man tell me this a number of years ago. It's always stood out to me, and the more I think about it, and the more I live, the more I see the truth in it. What he told me was this, that from 0 to 30 is investment time. That is the period of time in your life where, you could say this, your disciplines are being established in your heart. That you're using it as a seed time. That's where you're gaining a lot of your education. That's where you're making a lot of your connections. Generally, during that season, that's when people are getting married, setting up partnerships for life. From 0 to 30 is investment time. If you're in that age bracket, that's what you need to focus on, investment. Why? Because from 30 to 60, it's harvest time. The seeds that you've sown in you from 0 to 30, you're reaping a harvest off of from 30 to 60. That's where you're seeing all of that time, all of that effort to be disciplined in areas. It's paying off big time. And then from 60 to however long is giving back to the next generation, giving back your wisdom, giving back your time, making financial investments in kids, whatever it could be, but you're giving back to the next generation. And I've seen that to be so true. And if I found someone in life who is experiencing a good measure of success, generally it's because they acted with good wisdom from 0 to 30. Now, there are occasions, and I know everyone in here can say, thank God for his mercy, because what do most people do from 0 to 30? Oh, goof off. This is the part of season where I can live it free and do whatever I want to do and just sow oats, whatever. But, you know, with that, from 0 to 30, a lot of people treat it as a party season. And friend, I'm telling you, it will catch up to you later on unless you get the mercy of God. So with that, though, we see Jesus starting his ministry at what age? 30, exactly. So with this, what's fascinating to me is in the scriptures, we see a little window into Jesus' childhood. Now think about this. God the Father is watching over his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know he is prepping him for what he has prepared for him. And as a heavenly father watching over his son, who basically the fate of the whole earth is resting upon, you want to see him be trained right. Right? Yes. So what's fascinating in this scripture is you're going to see Jesus at age 12 years old growing in some things. And the more I think about it, in fact, I was talking to a headmaster of a school this week and I asked him about these 4 points and he confirmed what I think is the truth. If you are excelling in these 4 areas that Jesus was excelling in, you're going to live an amazing life. But if you are undisciplined in any one of these areas, it will hurt you later on. Notice there are 4 areas, and these are going to set up our boundaries, not only for our kids, but for our lives as well. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, Jesus here is 12 years old. At 12 years old, we see he's growing in some things, and these are things we want our kids as well as ourselves growing into. What are those things? Luke 2 and 52. It says, and Jesus increased, or you could say grew, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus was growing in 4 areas. God the Father, obviously, like we said, this is critically important. Had this kid turn out right, whole fate of the world rests on his shoulders. He was growing in 4 areas. Number one, he was growing in wisdom. Number two, he was growing in stature. Number three, he was growing in favor with God. And in number four, he was growing in favor with man. These 4 areas should be the boundaries for your life and the basis for all correction and discipline within the household. We want our kids growing in these 4 areas. The first area, with God, man, wisdom. And stature. 4 areas where we want to live is in these boundaries. When I'm in these boundaries, I'm growing in these 4 areas. When I cross these boundaries, I'm not growing in those areas, and that is when discipline needs to take place. Now, I wish I had time to go over these in detail, but believe me when I tell you, if you catch the gist of this and you discipline yourselves in these areas, it's going to be good news for you and your kids. First area is very obviously in your relationship with God. That's the first and highest boundary. From his word, from church, from your study of his word, you're going to see some things. Things like don't lie, don't steal, things like that. When you see those things become strong boundaries for you. What we want to see is our kids grow in their relationship with God. One of the things that I don't believe in is ever using the things of God as punishment. You've been bad today, go in there and read 3 chapters. No, we don't want them to see God's word as something that's terrible, that's punishment. Hit your knees and pray for an hour and a half until you get some wisdom. No, we don't want to use, we want them to enjoy prayer and enjoy the word of God and crave it and love it. And when you see your children serving God and they're growing in their relationship with Him and they're learning to lean on Him and walk in love and walk by faith and those types of things, they're growing in that. They're staying in those boundaries and borders. Rewards come. Oh, it blesses my heart when I see kids who love coming to church, love reading their Bible. When you see that, reward that. We'll go over this in a second, but anytime people cross the boundaries, that's when correction comes. When they stay in the boundaries, that's when rewards come. All parenting problems happen because either a kid is crossing the boundaries and they're not getting disciplined, or they're staying in the boundaries and not getting rewarded. First area, obviously, relationship with God, a whole bunch of things come under that. Another area we want them growing in is in favor with man, developing strong social skills. Friends, can I tell you this? It's one thing, because I'm an employer, it's one thing to have someone work in a department. It's a whole nother thing to have someone over a department. To be over a department, you need people skills. To work in a department, you just need technical skills. I want to see my kids, as well as myself, grow socially, to learn how to be a leader and not a follower. Don't you? Wouldn't you love it to see if your kids are walking in, there are other kids smoking, but not only don't they smoke, but they lead those kids away from smoking instead of following them into whatever they're doing there. That's our goal. We don't just want to raise kids or ourselves who can abstain from doing bad, but know how to have enough people skills to lead people out of bad as well. That'll serve you and them in whatever career you're in. I was in a restaurant that was opening a couple of weeks ago, and it's members who are in our church. They opened up a restaurant in Madison. Great people. Kent's Cajun Kitchen. And I'm just excited to see what the Lord is doing. But they had a guy who helped them open it up and was there introducing it. And this guy has a lot of restaurants in the Jackson, Mississippi area. And as soon as I saw him, you can tell why the guy's successful. He has amazing people skills. Just amazing people skills. And I know some Christians, man, they're strong with the Lord, but they can't communicate with people to save their life. And it affects them. It affects them on the job. So we want to grow socially. We also want to grow in wisdom. In Proverbs, you see that wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom and increase are always linked together. It's more precious than diamonds, rubies, could go on, lots of scripture there. But my point is, this is where boundaries come in as far as things like grades and reading and not watching a whole bunch of television and those types of things. You set up standards there. You should have standards for your life growing in wisdom. Every day learn something new. Wisdom is the principal thing. Then you come to stature. That means physically they're growing. And that not only means physically, you know, they're growing up, but also developing good physical discipline. They know how to say no to things like TV. They're not watching TV for 8 hours a day, playing video games for 15 hours a day. They're not going out and treating their body as anything but the temple of the Lord and other relationships. Boundaries come in there as well. So you set up your boundaries according to these four things for your life and for your kids. You set them up and you make sure that every day you're growing in these areas. Every day I'm increasing in my relationship with God. I'm learning skills to gain favor with man. I'm gaining new wisdom and instruction, increasing in my knowledge, and I'm staying sharp physically and being disciplined with my time, body, things of that nature. If you can do this, friend, oh my goodness, if you can grow in these areas, It's going to mean great success. And we want our kids disciplined in them too. Now, whenever a kid crosses a border or a boundary, that's where correction must come in. The first thing you need to know is this, though. There is a difference between disobedience and just downright rebellion. There are some times where kids are acting in ignorance, where they honestly don't know what the boundaries are. The only cure for ignorance is more knowledge. That's when you come back to them and confirm what the boundaries are. But once they know what the boundaries are and they are not ignorant, that's not time for negotiation. That's not time for more wisdom. That's not time for more teaching. There's only one thing left to do when they know the boundary but choose to cross it anyway, and that is correct. Where a lot of people miss it, and a lot of parents sometimes struggle with this, is they struggle with correcting their children. Can I tell you it is essential? There's a story in the Old Testament. I'm working on closing, and I'm already out of time, but that's okay. We'll make it work. So, but with this, and back in the Old Testament, there was a man named Eli. Eli was a priest in God's temple. And with this, Eli had sons who were after him who were also priests. And his sons were acting crazy. I mean, they were doing some things that were very lewd and disturbing and just things that were very wrong. And Eli really, really knew it was wrong. And he came to him and he starts talking to him. And he's telling them, you don't need to do that. Well, they know that. I mean, anyone, you could be a heathen and know not to do what they were doing. They knew not to do that. And he's telling them, well, you know, you don't need to do that, da, 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 da. But he doesn't make any correction. And finally, the Lord comes to his house, and this is what the Lord told him. He said, judgment's coming to your house, Eli. It's coming to you and coming to your sons. And the reason why it's coming is because you honor your sons more than you honor me. You don't want to hurt them, but you don't care that they're hurting others and hurting me. And because you're honoring them more than you're honoring me, judgment is coming. And all three of them died when a great battle came. It cost them their destiny. Once again, the point of discipline is to not make our kids miserable. It's to instill discipline in them so that they can be successful later on in life. It would have been much better for those boys had daddy came and said, hey, you're out of the temple. Go get a normal job and come back when you've learned some manners. Then for them to die in battle. Okay? So with that, when it comes to discipline, when kids are crossing the borders and boundaries, it is not time to tell them three times, if you do that, you're going to get disciplined. If you do that, you're going to get disciplined. If they know the boundary, there's nothing left to tell them. If they know not to do it, the only thing left to do when they do it is to bring discipline into their life. If we allow them to cross boundaries without any discipline, it will lead to them being undisciplined and will hurt them in life. Here's the reality, folks. I don't care how old you are. If you're a Christian, there will always be someone in your life telling you something to do. When you made a decision to sign up for this thing called Christianity, guess what you got? Yeah, you got a father. Yes. Yes, you got a savior. Yes. But you also got a Lord. And what the Lord is looking to do is to instruct you on how to live. And when he gives us wisdom to do, the only thing we have left to do is to do what he tells us. And when we do, that's when we walk in rewards. Here's the other side of this. The other case where sometimes it gets, where we forget to do is sometimes people forget to discipline and they let their kids cross borders repeatedly without bringing any type of correction. And that can lead to problems. But on the other hand, there are some parents who are very tight with their borders. And I mean, they're inspecting, because people don't respect what you don't inspect. And so they're inspecting, and I mean, they're bringing discipline when those kids cross those boundaries. But friend, not only does God have rules for us to live by, in the Old Testament they had the Ten Commandments, now we have one commandment, which is the commandment of love. Why? Because if you fulfill the commandment of love, you're going to fulfill the other 10. If you love me, you're not going to kill me, right? No, yeah, you're not going to steal from me. And that's a new commandment. So, but with that, not only do we have a new commandment, but we also have a God who rewards us. When we live by faith, when we walk in love, there are rewards that come with that. And when our children are staying in the boundaries, that is time for us to reward. It's not just time to just, you know, well, that's what they're supposed to know. You reward their good behavior. I'll tell you this story, and this will be the last closing. We have a rule in our house, no running in the house. That's what the outside is for. No running. We're going to have fun, but if you want to run, go outside. In the house, I want peace. We're going to maintain peace. So that's a border and boundary we have set up there. I don't know which one that comes in, but anyway, it's a border and boundary we have set up in the house. And on one particular day, there were a whole bunch of kids over at my house, and they were all running upstairs, and I hear my little girl, I think she was 4 at the time, she stops him in the hall and she says, no, we can't run in the house. You know, and she's always telling her brother all the rules and boundaries. We don't have to worry about us telling him because she'll always tell him. But she tells him, no, we don't run in the house. And so they start running a little bit. She says, no, we don't run in the house. So I called her down, and you know, I think she thought she was in trouble because, you know, it's impossible not to hear the running when you got 10 kids up there running like hyenas. So anyway, you know, she comes down, and anyway, she's there, standing there, and I said, I heard you upstairs. I said, you don't know how much that blesses me, that without me seeing you or without me watching you, you did the right thing. I said, oh, that blesses me. And I picked her up and hugged on her and took her over to the kitchen drawer. And I had a little Ziploc bag where we keep dollars in, just single dollar bills. And opened up the bag and gave her a couple of dollars and said, oh, it just blesses me when you do this. And her face is lighting up. And I said, not only does Daddy like it when you obey, but honey, let me tell you, you've got a God in heaven who looks over you. And there are going to be some times in your life where he tells you to do some things. And maybe you don't understand why you can't do it. And other people are out there having fun, and you want to have fun too, but you know you're not supposed to. When you do the right thing, rewards always come. Now, guess what happens? We don't have a problem with her running in the house. Not because she crossed the border and got punished, but because she stayed in the border and got rewarded. And that's the point of growing in discipline. When we walk in the discipline of the Lord, it leads to success every single time.